वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Advaita Acharya, one of the most important associates of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we will begin by chanting two verses from the sixth chapter of the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These two verses also appear in the first chapter as part of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's invocation prayers, the Mangalacharan. In these two verses, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has glorified Advaita Acharya and also explained who he is, what his ontological position is, what is his identity. Texts 4 and 5 in chapter 6.
महाविष्णुर्जगत्कर्ता
मायया सृजत्यदः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः अद्वैतं हरिणाद्वैता आचार्यं भक्ति शंतना भक्तावतारमीशं तं अद्वैताचार्यमाश्रये महाविष्णुर्जगत्कर्ता मायया यः सृजत्यदः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः अद्वैतं हरिणाद्वैता आचार्यं भक्तिशंतना भक्तावतारम् ईशं तं अद्वैताचार्यम् आश्रये
Adhvaita Harinandeta
Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yeyatasthani Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahaganaragunathanvitam Samsajivam Sakvaitam Savadutam Parijanasahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vamcha Kalpatarojascha Kripasam Dukya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Premapadaya De Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Dolakshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupasvarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karunasindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopikakanta Radhakanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishadhanu Kutte Devi Pranamami Yadavi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna So in these two verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has revealed the identity of Srila Advaita Acharya. He is none other than Mahavishnu. And because he is non-different from Hari, Advaitam Harina Advaita. Harina means from Hari. And Advaita means non-different, not Dvaita, not dual, but he is one. Therefore, he is called Advaita. Acharyam Bhakti Kshamsana, and because he is also preaching the cult of devotional service, Bhakti Kshamsana, therefore he is also Acharya. So that Advaita, who is Lord Hari, has descended to propagate the cult of devotional service is Acharya. Therefore his full name is Advaita Acharya. I offer my respects and obeisances unto him, that Krishnadas Kaviraj. And he says, Bhaktavataram Ishamtam, that although he is Isha, or he is the Supreme Lord, but he has come as a Bhakta Avatar, as an incarnation of a devotee. Just like Krishna himself has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the guise of a devotee, so also has Mahavishnu come down in the form of Advaita Acharya as a devotee. And what is Mahavishnu's function? Mahavishnu Jagat Karta. Mahavishnu is the creator of the universe, Jagat Karta. And Maya Yajnaha Trijat Yadara. And he accomplishes this through the actions of the agency of Maya. Maya Yajnaha Trijat Yadara. So Tasya Avatar Evayam Advaita Acharya Ishvara. So that incarnation of Mahavishnu in this material world is Advaita Acharya. Also the Mangalacharan prayers we chant Panchitattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam. Here Kaviraj Goswami has outlined 5-in-1 principles of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is Krishna, but that one Krishna has appeared in five forms in Navadvipa. And those five forms are, firstly, as Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Bhakta, he is also a devotee, Panchatattva Atmakam Krishna, Panchatattva, the five truths, and they are Krishna, they are coming from Krishna directly, Panchatattva Atmakam Krishna, Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam. So Krishna has first of all come as Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee. Krishna in the form of a devotee is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarupakam, Nityananda Prabhu is also the first expansion. He has also come as a devotee. Bhaktavatar is the incarnation of a devotee. That is Advaita Acharya. Bhaktakhyam, who is called a devotee, that is Srivasa Pandit, who is the incarnation of Narada Muni. Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of the Lord, that is Srimati Radharani, who has come as Gadadhar Pandit. So this is the understanding of Advaita Acharya's position. In this sixth chapter of the Adi Leela, Kaviraj Goswami has further elucidated his position. He firstly talks about the two functions of Maya. Maya, or the material energy, can perform two functions. One function is that she acts in an efficient way or an effective way, in the sense that she is the cause of this material creation, but instrumentally. So she is called Nimitta. In this form she is called Nimitta Maya. In another form, or in another function, she is called Pradhan Maya. She is the material cause, because she supplies the materials or the ingredients that are necessary for building up this creation. A simple example is given by Prabhupada in one of the purports somewhere. It's that of a lady who conceives a child. As the material cause of the child, she provides the ingredients that make up the body of the child. And as the efficient or the effective cause of the child, she actually provides the accommodating space within which the fetus grows, and then eventually she delivers the child from that womb. So therefore the mother does both these functions. At the same time, the mother cannot produce the child on her own. Actually, in the background is the real cause of the child, who is the father, who supplies the soul. The soul comes through the semen of the father into the womb of the mother. So the original cause is the Purusha, or the father. Similarly, Maya, or this material energy, can act in these two functions, as the effective cause, or the Nimitta Maya, or the material cause, or the Pradhan Maya, but ultimately there is the Purusha, the Supreme Lord, who is behind, who is the actual, ultimate cause of everything, of the whole creation. The Mahavishnu also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, assumes two forms, or assumes two aspects, according to these two functions of Maya. When Mahavishnu acts in relation to the first form of Maya, which is Nimitta Maya, where she is the effective cause, then he is known as Mahavishnu. And he is the effective cause in the sense that he simply glances at material nature. And then, in relation to the material cause, Maya, the Pradhan Maya, then he assumes a form of Narayana, which is called Advaita. Now, as we know, the material creation is not personally done by the Lord, but he does it through his agencies. simply by its energy, simply by glancing at material nature. Material nature is called Prakriti. But before Prakriti becomes manifest, before the three modes of material nature become differentiated as the three modes, it is called Pradhan. So when Pradhan becomes differentiated into the three modes, and then the material nature becomes manifest, then it's called Prakriti. So Pradhan is the unmanifested, undifferentiated material nature. And it is in this Pradhan that the Lord casts his glance to set up the whole process of creation. So when Mahavishnu acts as the creator in this way, in the agency of Maya, then he is called Ananta, he is called Advaita, but also Rudra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, because the Lord does not directly interact with Maya. Maya is Durga. And who is the consort of Durga? It is Lord Shiva. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in this aspect of Advaita, a form of an expansion of Narayana, it is actually Lord Shiva or Sadashiva. And that Advaita, that Sadashiva, that Mahavishnu has appeared in this material world in the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu as Advaita Acharya. In the Gaura Karnadesha Deepika, it is explained that in Braj, Lord Sadashiva appears as Lord Shankar. We know that Shiva has a very important role to play in the pastimes of Krishna in the material world when Krishna appears here. But in the Gaura Ganvesh Deepika, there is an interesting statement made by one who is Bhairav, who is a disciple of Lord Shankar, in which he says that one time Lord Shiva saw Krishna and Balaram dancing together along with other cowherd boys in the forest. And he was so captivated by this sight that he also wanted to become like a cowherd boy and dance with Krishna and Balaram. So then he assumed the form of a cowherd boy and he began spinning around like a whirling wheel. So in Braj, Lord Sadashiva has assumed two forms, one as Lord Shiva and the other as a cowherd boy. So the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika says that this Lord Shiva, who has assumed two forms in Braj, has come as Advaita Acharya in Bhagavad. Also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur has, in the earlier part of his work, explained the identity of Advaita Acharya with Lord Shankar or Lord Shiva. So in this way, Advaita Acharya is none other than the Supreme Lord, who is specifically Mahavishnu, who has come here. And therefore, he is non-different from the Lord. He is in the category of Prabhu Tattva or Vishnu Tattva. There are different kinds of incarnations and expansions of the Lord, and therefore we have to see Advaita Acharya as a plenary portion of the Lord. Prabhupada explains in his different purports here. So this is the ontological position of Sri Advaita Acharya. Those who are more interested in this topic, you can study the Chaitanya Charitamrita further in more detail, you will get deeper understanding. Advaita Acharya appears in this world on this day, the seventh day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh, the Vedic calendar, the month of Magh. And therefore this day is also called Advaita Saptami. He was born in the place called Silhet, which is in present day Bangladesh. His father was a Brahmana whose name was Kuber Pandit, and his mother's name was Nabha Devi. Both were great devotees of the Lord. Kuber Pandit is considered as an expansion or incarnation of Kubera, the treasurer of the demigods, the head of the Guhyakas, and a close friend of Mahadev or Lord Shiva. And it's fitting because Advaita Acharya also has this connection to Lord Shiva. Kubera Pandit was a great devotee specifically of Lord Narasimhadev and would never forget the Lord's lotus feet even for a moment. It appears by some accounts that Kubera Pandit and Nambadevi were a little older in age when Advaita Acharya appeared. And these two were very much loved by the people in Silhet for their devotional qualities. And when Advaita Acharya appeared, then all the villagers began to celebrate very joyfully and considered that it was such a great fortune that even in an older age, such a wonderful, lustrous, effulgent child with all auspicious symptoms and qualities had been born of Kubera Pandit and Nambadevi. Advaita Acharya's name was actually Sri Kamalaksha or Sri Kamala Kanta Veda Panchanana. Kamalaksha also because he has eyes like lotus petals, because he is none other than Lord Krishna. There are many scriptures in which his life and his pastimes have been described. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Bhakti Ratnakar, the Advaita Vilas, the Sita Charitra, and so on. Numerous are the pastimes about Advaita Acharya. And therefore certainly it is not possible to describe these pastimes in their entirety, but we will just talk about a few of the smaller pastimes. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has composed many poems in praise of Advaita Acharya. When Advaita Acharya grew up in Silhet, he moved to Shantipur. There are some different accounts. Some people say that he was born in Shantipur, regardless, but the common opinion is that he was born in Silhet and later he moved to Shantipur. When his parents, Kubera Pandit and Nambadevi, departed from this world, Advaita Acharya performed the pastime of doing their Shraddha ceremony, performing the oblations for his departed parents. And for that purpose, he went to Gaya and then onwards to other holy places. He went to even Vrindavan. He came here to Vrindavan and he performed very strong bhajan here. And then he returned via Mithila, and in Mithila he met the great Vaishnava poet Vidyapati. Actually, incidentally, when Advaita Acharya was here in Vrindavan, I'm not sure if it was on this visit or whether it was on a subsequent visit. He performed his bhajan here in Advaita Vat, which is near Radha Madan Mohan temple, the old Madan Mohan temple. So I'm sure everybody has been to Advaita Vat. And it was here that he discovered the deity of Madan Gopal. And he was worshipping this deity very nicely, but then he had to return, because he, by strength of his bhajan, also because he is also the Supreme Lord, he understood that Krishna had descended in Navadvipa and he wanted to get back in a hurry. So, what to do with Madan Gopal? So then he left the deity of Madan Gopal in the house of a Brahmana in Mathura called Chauve. And the Brahmana was then looking after the deity. And he had some small children, some sons, and they were playing with the deity as if Madan Gopal was their brother. And when Sanatan Goswami went there one time from Madhukari, and he was shocked to see that the children of the house were playing with the deity as if he was their friend or their brother, and he mildly rebuked the Brahman and advised them on how they should properly take care of the deities. And then later on, Madan Gopal came in the dream of Sanatan Goswami and said that, well, I'm his son, and now you have introduced so many rules and regulations, so I'm not so happy. But anyway, so Sanatana Goswami went there to apologize. But meanwhile, Madan Gopal had also appeared in the dream of Chaupe, the Brahmana, and told him that you have so many children, so now you can give me to Sanatana Goswami. And the two astonished souls met, and that's how Sanatana Goswami received the deity of Madan Gopal, who later came to be known as Madan Mohan. So behind the first temple of Vrindavan, the first deity of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Srila Advaita Acharya has a very important role to play. Srila Advaita Acharya was actually 52 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born in 1434, so that's 52, right? Because Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. 52 years older. And he lived for 125 years. And he was quite active for all these 125 years. So when Mahaprabhu was born in Navadvipa, Advaita Acharya was in Shantipur, and his wife, Sita Devi, Sita Thakurani, took her husband's permission and went to Navadvipa. And she carried lots of gifts and she bestowed her blessings on this newborn child. Advaita Acharya had actually two wives. One was Sita Thakurani, who was none other than Yogamaya. And the other wife was called Sri or Sri Devi, who was a Prakash expansion of Sita Thakurani. So Advaita Acharya continued to be very closely associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right from birth. And even before Nimai Pandit's appearance, actually, Advaita Acharya had been very anxious to see the degraded condition of people around. And he was constantly praying to the Lord to advent. He would speak about on the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and establish that the principle of devotional service to Lord Krishna was the ultimate principle and it was the actual goal of human life. He would preach in this way very strongly about the path of bhakti. And sometime before Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world, the great devotee Madhavendra Puri happened to pass through Shantipur on the way to Puri, or on the way to Orissa, Neelachal, in order to fulfill the order of the Lord to bring some sandalwood back from Neelachal. So Madhavendra Puri came all the way from Vrindavan, and at Shantipur, he arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya immediately recognized this sannyasi to be an exalted devotee of the Lord. And he accepted Diksha, initiation, mantra initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So therefore, Advaita Acharya was the initiated disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri had another disciple, Ishwar Puri, who was the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, Advaita Acharya was actually very much senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the worldly point of view, not only in terms of age, but also in terms of spiritual initiation. Because Advaita Acharya was the godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. We'll come to that a little later. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Madhavendra Puri was a seedling from which the tree of devotional service in this world began. And the trunk of that tree is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this trunk had two main secondary trunks. One of these secondary trunks was Nityananda Prabhu, and the other was Advaita Acharya. And then there were numerous branches and sub-branches, which Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when Advaita Acharya was praying to the Lord in this way, he realized that it would have to be a complete incarnation of the Lord that would serve the purpose. Some empowered incarnation would not do. So, with offerings of Ganges water and Tulsi Manjaris, he very fervently and loudly prayed to Lord Krishna to appear to deliver the fallen people of this age. And Kaviraj Goswami explained that this was one of the most important reasons for Mahaprabhu's advent. As we know, there are so many external reasons and internal reasons for the advent of Mahaprabhu. One of the external reasons is the call of Advaita Acharya. And he would repeatedly petition the Lord to come by chanting various shlokas and mantras and by calling out the holy names. And in particular, Kaviraj Goswami mentions he would chant one particular shloka, Tulasidala Matreya Jalasya Chulukenava Vikrinitesvam Atmanam Saktevyo Saktavatsalaha. It appears in one of the scriptures, the Puranas. And the meaning of this verse is Tulasi Kalama Prena, that if just one takes simply a lotus leaf and also just a little palmful of the water from the Ganga and offers that in love and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then he becomes so indebted that he actually sells himself to his devotees. Vikrinati Svam Atmanam Bhaktivyaha, that means unto his devotees. Vikrinati means to sell. So the Lord sells himself to his devotees because he is Bhaktavatsala. He is very affectionate to his devotees. And why does he do this? Simply because the devotee has purchased him by offering the water from the Ganges or the Yamuna and offered Tulsi Manjaris at his lotus feet. So being bound by the devoted cause of Advaita Acharya, Krishna forcefully advented into this world. Normally, we distinguish between the ordinary living entity and Krishna by saying that the conditioned living entity is forced to take birth in this world by virtue of his or her past karma. That the living entity is not independent to take birth once he or she leaves the body. But Krishna is supremely independent and will come and go according to his own sweet will. However, we understand that Krishna is also not completely independent. Ontologically he is independent, but emotionally he is dependent on the will of his devotees. And therefore, when his devotees desire him to advent, then he does so, being bound by the love of his devotees. So Advaita Acharya, although he was an incarnation of the Lord himself, but because he was playing the part of his devotee, and he prayed with such devotion that the Lord had no choice but to appear. Around that time, when he might appear, he already had an older brother, whose name was Vishwaroop. Advaita Acharya had established a toll or a school where he taught Sanskrit, and he would speak with great erudition, giving devotional understanding from the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other scriptures. Vishwaroop would come very often and listen with great attention and faith to the preaching of Advaita Acharya. Sometimes, when the Acharya was busy with his deity worship, Vishwaroop would gather the other students together and explain to them how the principle of unalloyed, pure devotional service to Lord Krishna was the highest principle given in all the scriptures. And Advaita Acharya would sometimes leave his deity worship and run to Vishwaroop and embrace him in great joy. Because at that time, although there were many people who were supposedly following the scriptures, they were at best karmakandis and at worst much lower than that. And they, the only purpose they felt religion had was to enjoy life in this world as much as possible. They used religion as a means to exploit the resources of nature for enjoying. Therefore they worshipped Durga, Chandi, Kali and so on. And Advaita Acharya was very keen to establish that this was not really religion. This was cheating. And he took great pains to establish that pure devotional service to Lord Krishna was actually the true purport and the purpose of religion. In this way, Vishwarup would come and listen. Sometimes Sachi Mata would send a young Nimai, who was only a toddler, with prasadam for Vishwarup. And then Nimai would go there, very sweetly hand over the prasadam to Vishwarup, and by his sweet behavior, everyone was enchanted. Even Advaita Acharya was really puzzled at the extraordinary beauty of this child. And he kept staring at this child, wondering how come he has such exceptional qualities. But the Lord Yogamaya, the Lord covered himself by his Leela Shakti, he didn't understand that the Lord had advantage, that this child was actually none other than Krishna. Around this time, Ishwar Puri, or maybe sometime before actually, Ishwar Puri also happened to come to Navadvip. Yes, at that time Nimai Pandit was already displaying his scholarly pastimes. And he happened to come and meet Advaita Acharya. Here again, Advaita Acharya understood that Ishwar Puri was a great exalted devotee. Although Ishwar Puri disguised himself in a way as to not let the common folk know that he was even a sannyasi, what to speak of a devotee. But it takes one to know one. And Advaita Acharya immediately understood that Ishwar Puri was a great devotee, and when he found out that he was initiated, he was actually a god brother being initiated by Madhavendra Puri, the two were extremely happy. Soon after that, Nimai Pandit went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his departed father, Jagannath Mishra. And it was there that he met Ishwar Puri for a second time. And that was a point of great transformation in the life of Nimai Pandit. He became transformed from a dry scholar of Sanskrit grammar and logic into a Krishna prem intoxicated young man. And he returned to Navadvip from Gaya, and nobody could recognize him. Is this the same Nimai who went away from here as a dry scholar, constantly deriding and poking fun at the devotees? And here now this Nimai has returned, completely blissful, intoxicated with Krishna prem. The devotees were overjoyed. They couldn't believe their eyes and their ears. And Nimai Pandit always portrayed himself as a devotee. One time, however, he thought it was time to publicly proclaim his true identity as Krishna. This was when Nityananda Prabhu had also come to Navadvip. When Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Balaram, understood that Krishna had actually displayed or begun to display his devotional pastimes, he rushed into Navadvip. And Nimai Pandit was extremely happy, and he one day decided to have a Vyasa Puja celebration for Nityananda Prabhu. And a grand ceremony was to be organized. And in that ceremony, Advaita Acharya actually declared that Nityananda Prabhu was none other than Lord Balaram himself. And Nimai Pandit sent, I think it was Ramai Pandit, who was a brother of Srivast Thakur, to go and call Advaita Acharya, who was in Shantipur at that time, and with the message that you had called out to Lord Hari, Now that Hari has come, he is performing pastimes here in Navadvip, and Balaram has also come with Nityananda. So please come immediately. When Advaita Acharya heard this, he was overjoyed, because this was the first time that Nimai had publicly proclaimed who he really was. So he rushed with great joy. But then when he reached Navadvip, he thought that he would test Nimai. So he hid himself in the house of Nandanacharya and told Nandanacharya not to tell anyone. And then Mahaprabhu sent Ramai Pandit again to the house of Nandanacharya to fetch Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya became overjoyed once again, having understood that the Lord had understood his tricks. So in great happiness he came to Nimai Pandit and he prostrated himself, offered full obeisances, clasped the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, and he began to offer many, many prayers. And particularly in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Bhagavad Gita explained, he chanted the famous prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And then he began to dance madly in Sankirtan, although he was quite old at that time. Probably he must have been at least in his late 60s. But he was dancing madly, very, very vigorously. And then he had also another house in Navadvip. So Advaita Acharya had two houses, one in Shantipur and one in Navadvip. One time Advaita Acharya called Haridas Thakur to his house. He would actually call him many times, because Advaita Acharya recognized Haridas Thakur for his exalted devotional qualities. And one time when Advaita Acharya was performing the Shraddha ceremony for his departed forefathers, he invited Haridas Thakur. It is the custom, the Vedic custom, that when one performs the Shraddha ceremony like that, one invites a Brahmana and they are offered Vishnu Prasadam. The Shraddha ceremony involves offering Vishnu Prasad to the departed forefathers. One should never offer to the forefathers anything that has not been offered to the Lord. So, Haridas Thakur, although he was born in a Muslim family, Yavana, who was even below the Shudras, not even part of the Varnashram system, but because he was such an exalted Vaishnava, a pure devotee of the Lord, so Advaita Acharya called him to receive the first plate of the Mahaprasadam that is offered to the Brahmanas. Haridas Thakur in his humility protested. But Advaita Acharya explained that what I am doing is not whimsical. It is based on the injunctions of the scriptures. Actually, simply calling you here for prasadam means that I have fed millions of qualified Brahmanas. Even that is not a proper understanding of having called a pure devotee like you to my house for prasadam. So in this way, Advaita Acharya established the important principle that it is not birth but devotional qualification that entitles one for so many functions in true religious life. Advaita Acharya had six sons, but of these six sons, only three he himself recognized as being bona fide, who followed his true principles. The oldest was Achyutananda, about whom we hear several times. And there was another who was Sri Krishna Mishra, and the third who was Gopal Mishra. These three sons were bona fide sons of Advaita Acharya in the sense that they followed his devotional principles. The other three sons, however, deviated from the line, and therefore they are not accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. One time, Advaita Acharya, who was lamenting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always considered him as his superior, which is a fact because by worldly calculation of Advaita Acharya was his superior, age-wise as well as initiation-wise. So Mahaprabhu would offer him all respect, but this would give great sadness to Advaita Acharya because Advaita Acharya considered Mahaprabhu as his lord and himself as his servant. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is so much mention of how Advaita Acharya was thinking that every one of his creation is a servant of Krishna. So many incarnations are there, so many expansions of Krishna are there, but they are all ultimately servants of Krishna. So what to speak of the Jiva Tattvas and the Shakti Tattvas, but even the Vishnu Tattvas are all actually meant to serve Krishna. Even to the point that Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, is also called Sevak. He is Sevak Bhagavan. He is a servant Bhagavan. And Krishna is a Savior Bhagavan, the God who is served, and Balaram is the God who serves. So from Balaram down, all the other Vishnu Tattvas also serve Krishna. So in this way, Advaita Acharya was feeling very sorry that Mahaprabhu was dealing with him in such a formal way. He wanted Mahaprabhu to demonstrate some intimacy, and one way to demonstrate intimacy was that he should be chastised. But Mahaprabhu was not here of it. How could Mahaprabhu think of even chastising someone who was so superior to him as Advaita Acharya? So Advaita Acharya thought of a ruse, of a trick. He would go to some place and start speaking Advaita philosophy, the monastic philosophy, and he would preach from the Yoga Vasishtha. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he became extremely angry. And he rushed there and actually physically beat Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya began to dance with wild happiness. Now my life is perfect. Mahaprabhu has finally accepted me as his own. He has accepted me as his servant. And he has admonished me. Woe to my earlier life where Mahaprabhu used to praise me and he used to accept me as a superior. Now I can understand that I am fortunate because Mahaprabhu has actually beaten me, he has chastised me. He has accepted me as his servant. So to be chastised by Krishna, by the spiritual masters, by the Vaishnavas is a fortune, but generally we don't see it like that. But from the example of Advaita Acharya, we can understand how eager we should be to receive such chastisement. So Advaita Acharya was very happy when Mahaprabhu realized that he had been tricked. Then he was very embarrassed. At the same time, internally, he was also very pleased. And so high in his esteem was Advaita Acharya that he didn't even spare Sachi Mata. One time in his Mahaprakash Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his form of the Supreme Lord displaying his opulence, and he was sitting on the throne of Vishnu, and he was calling all the devotees to come and ask him for benedictions, somebody asked him, what about Sachi Mata? Are you not going to call him, call her? So he said no. Why not? Because she has committed an offense to Advaita Acharya. So everyone was surprised. How can Sachi Mata perform and commit an offense to Advaita Acharya? So it is explained that actually when Vishwarupa, the older brother of Nimai, would visit Advaita Acharya, he was so influenced by the discourses of the Acharya that he developed a deep sense of renunciation along with his devotion. And he decided that there was no point in continuing on in household life. And in any case, his parents had already been looking for a girl for him to get married to. So he decided to leave home and take sannyas. Sachi Mata was heartbroken. But nevertheless, even though her son had left, and she understood that it was because Advaita Acharya had to some degree influenced his mind, she was somewhat unhappy. She was feeling a little afraid to think anything ill about Advaita Acharya because he was such a great Vaishnava. And in any case, Nimai Pandit was there, Nimai was there still. But later, as Nimai Pandit started becoming more and more influenced by Advaita Acharya, Sachi Mata began to get worried now. And she was thinking, I've already lost one son because of this old Gosai, this old Goswami. He is venerable, he is worshipable, he's a great devotee. He took away my one son, and this other son of mine, the youngest son Nimai, I've got him married to the beautiful girl Lakshmi Priya, but still he showed signs of unsteadiness in the association of Advaita Acharya. Therefore, I think his name is not Advaita, but his name should be Dvaita. Because Advaita means one, and Dvaita means two. Two means some kind of differentiation or some kind of splitting. So this Advaita is going to split me from my son, it's going to split my family. He's going to make two, he's going to take my younger son away. So his name is not Advaita, but Dvaita. And this she thought only in her mind. She didn't even speak it to anyone. So nobody knew except Nimai, because Nimai is none other than Lord Krishna, who was also in the heart of Sachi Mata. So he understood. And although he didn't point it out to her at that time, but he kept it in mind. And at the Mahaprakash Leela, he mentioned this. And then everyone asked, so what is the remedy for this? The remedy is that she must beg forgiveness from Advaita Acharya. So Sachi Mata came there when she was shocked. Oh really? This is an offense, yes. So she immediately begged forgiveness from Advaita Acharya, and she revealed her offense, her mental offense to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya of course didn't take it as an offense, and he began to glorify Sachi Mata as if he had 1,000 mouths. And he glorified her as being the mother of the Lord of the universe, because it was from her that Nimai had actually appeared in this world. And while he was glorifying Sachi Mata in this way, he became unconscious in ecstasy. And seeing this as an opportunity, Sachi Mata took the dust from the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya and smeared it on her head. And now she had atoned for her offense, and she had become free from that offense. So Nimai Pandit wanted to demonstrate to the world that one should be very careful about offending Vaishnavas, and one should not deal irresponsibly or whimsically with devotees. And if somehow or other one offends a Vaishnava, the only remedy for that is one should approach that particular Vaishnava and beg forgiveness. There is no other remedy. Another lesson we can learn from this is how humble Sachi Mata was. That Sachi Mata didn't argue or didn't hesitate when she was told about this, and she immediately came forward to offer her apologies and obeisances to Advaita Acharya. After Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he immediately rushed towards Vrindavan. And it was then that Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. When he reached the bank of the Ganga, in his trance of devotional ecstasy, Mahaprabhu thought that this was Yamuna, and that he had now reached the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan. And he saw some cows grazing around, and the cowherd boys were there with the cows. And then he began to shout in ecstasy, I am he, I am he. I am the cowherd boy. He thought of himself as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And everyone became concerned. And then Nityananda Prabhu took him by boat to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita Acharya. And there was a grand reunion. A reunion for the first time after Mahaprabhu took sannyas. There was ecstatic kirtan, there was prasadam, and so on. And after that also, Advaita Acharya played a very, very significant role in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only in Bengal, in Shantipur and Navadvip, but also in Jagannath Puri. Along with the devotees, he would make the annual visit from Bengal to Jagannath Puri and be with the Lord for 4 months every year during the Chaturmasi time. One time after several years, Advaita Acharya called one devotee, I think it was probably Jagadananda Pandit, who had come, or Damodar Pandit, I'm not sure, one of the two, and they had been sent from Puri to Bengal, and now it was time for them to go back. And Advaita Acharya sent a message, please send this message back to our Lord. And the message was, I offer you 1,000,000 obeisances. Please tell the madman that everyone has become mad here and no one is buying rice in the marketplace. Give this message from one madman to another madman. There's no other work left for any mad people. All the crazies have no other work to do. This was a riddle. Nobody understood what it meant. So anyway, this message was duly conveyed to Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained the purport of this riddle. The purport is that Mahaprabhu had come for the purpose of spreading Krishna prema and making everyone intoxicated with love of Godhead. Now, everyone had become mad in devotional ecstasy. So everyone had become mad. And because Mahaprabhu's purpose had been fulfilled, so in the marketplace of the holy name there was no one left to purchase because everyone was already mad with devotional love. And now Mahaprabhu's purpose had been fulfilled. The purpose for which he had come here was done. So the purport was that if Mahaprabhu wished, now he could wind up his pastime and he could think of what he would want to do next. So this was a riddle. And this was the purport of the riddle which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. In any case, Advaita Acharya remained for a long time. 125 years he lived. Mahaprabhu lived for only 48 years. So Advaita Acharya, this means that Advaita Acharya continued to live even after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. He must have been around about 100 years old at the time of Mahaprabhu's departure. And he went on to live for another 25 years in Navadvip area. Today it is appearance day. We can pray at his lotus feet that he may kindly grant us his causeless mercy, empower us to have a drop of pure devotional service in our hearts, that we can always serve Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Navadvip in the spiritual world along with his associates, and also Sri Sri Radha Krishna and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram in Goloka Vrindavan. Shri Advaita Acharya ki jai. Shri Advaita Acharya Agrabhavas ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. So we will stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, there is one announcement. Avananda Gopa Prabhu will begin to take out the glorious Harinam Sankirtan once again. In the mood of Advaita Acharya, it's a very auspicious day on which to revive and resume the evening Harinam Sankirtan parties that would go out on the streets of Vrindavan chanting. And today, we request devotees to gather at about 4 o'clock in front of Srila Prabhupada Samadhi so that the devotees can go out on Harinam. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
What was it? Not that he had the spiritual master of the Sadhguru.
మాట్లాడాలి.